words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our God, our strength, and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Please be seated. Well, I'm going to read just a teeny portion of the column from last week because I feel that it's really good as far as reflecting and preparing and all for Advent, which is starting next week. Blessed Lord, who caused all Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them. To read, to hear them, to mark them, to learn them, and inwardly digest them. That's a lot, and when we do it, we learn more and more about who we are supposed to be, who we belong to, and who we're supposed to follow. And that brings me right into this week's column. And this is a good preparation, too, for Advent. Almighty and everlasting God, whose will it is to restore all things. Today, I guess you could say it's an R&R. It's all about restoration and reconciliation, maybe in an abstract way, but that's what we learn about today. Restoration and reconciliation. And how does it all happen? Through Jesus Christ, God's well-beloved Son. That is how we're restored, and that's how our restoration and reconciliation and the gift of everlasting life is achieved by Jesus. Now for Advent, it's going to be a choice. Actually, each and every day can be a choice for us. We can decide, and from the gospel reading, and I'll get into that in a minute, but we can decide, is it going to be for us? Is it going to be business as usual? Or following Jesus, having a true life of love, an unbelievable love? Business as usual or true love? We know what God wants from us. The column tells us. We know what God desires. And we also know what God offers us. And our gospel teaches us about us, about human beings, human nature, what human nature tends to dictate to us, what we desire, what we want, what we put first in our lives. It's just part of the story about Pilate, the Jews, and Jesus, and the trial. Now this is just, a teeny, teeny bit of history, because there were problems before this for Pilate, which made him, in a way, be wimpy, which isn't new. Pilate, when he first started to be governor, at first, he would not remove the images, the pagan images, and this really got all the Jews upset to the point where they dogged him and they harassed him and hounded him. And they even, finally, they got to him and Pilate had gotten him to come into this courtyard. And his bluff was that he was going to, slaughter them all. But they called his bluff and they didn't back down. Now that part was good. Because he did cave. He did not slaughter them. Even Pilate could not hurt the unarmed men in the courtyard that day. But that's not a good start for whether you want to be governor. And then the next thing he did was he robbed their temple treasury. And he killed many to get that. The idea was he wanted to have a new aqueduct. Well, that's good. They probably needed a new aqueduct, but you're not supposed to steal from, the church's treasury. It's holy money. So at that point, they even reported him to Caesar. And that's really bad. That puts his job on the line. This is not a good thing. So when this happened, he was petrified. He did not want to lose his job. They were blackmailing him. And so it's like us today. Do we choose to keep ourselves safe? Or do we choose Jesus? God bless you. What do we choose, and what did Pilate choose? Well, it was a shame for Pilate, because when you do the reading today and before and after this, we know that Pilate was intrigued by Jesus. He probably actually liked him. He was impressed by him, but that wasn't enough for Pilate. Pilate was really interested in talking to Jesus. Now, with the Jews that day, they were filled with hate, a hate that was so strong. There was greed, anger, jealousy. And when you're that hateful and that jealous and wanting your own way that much, there's no more room for mercy, compassion, and not even reasoning. In regards to Jesus, they couldn't even think straight anymore. They were so wrapped up with themselves, because just like Pilate, they didn't want to lose their jobs. They didn't want to lose their possessions, their wealth, their status. And Jesus was calling all people to a new way. And they were threatened. And they were filled with anger. And their hatred distorted all their thoughts, all their behaviors, all their listening, all their actions. And that's what hatred and anger does. Now the threat they had, or the problem they had, well, it was a threat for Pilate, but it was a problem for them. The Jews were not allowed to execute people. They couldn't do the death penalty. There was no death penalty, especially for blasphemy. And so that's why the Jews even resorted to lying. They said that he said he was the king, and Jesus didn't do that. So their hate made them even lie. Now what's interesting was when Pilate brought them into the courtyard and they wouldn't enter, only Jesus would. Was because here they wanted to be holy. For their Passover meal, they had to be totally clean and cleansed. Had they entered into Pontius Pilate's courtyard, they would have been ritually unclean. So here you've got them thinking they're being clean and holy, but on the other hand, they're lying through their teeth about someone that they knew was at least a prophet and perhaps the Son of God, God Almighty. That's what hate does. That's what anger does. That's what jealousy does. They wanted what they wanted. They didn't want to lose their status. The same for Pilate. He was confused. He was afraid. He didn't want to lose his status. And who suffered? Jesus. He suffered because of the sins of Pilate haunting him, and for the greed and the sins of the Jews. And it doesn't stop there that day. Jesus died and suffered for all of our sins, for all of our greed, all of our fears, all of our worries, that, you know, all the sins that we commit, for my sins, as well as for Pilate's that day. All of us are responsible. So we need to choose. Do we want to be business as usual? Thinking about what we want, when we want, how we want it, and at what cost do we want it? Jesus was always faithful, totally vulnerable to God Almighty and to the humankind, loving us and loving all and loving God to the end, his end. He was totally obedient. His love was perfected. He still desired to save everyone, including those who were going to pierce him. We sang that this morning. So this Christ the King Sunday, we have a choice to think about. Do we want to live and act more like the Jews of those days, the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Or do we want to live and act like Pilate, not being brave enough to stand up for Jesus, stand up for what is true and right, allowing our sins to continually cause the crucifixion of our Lord? Or do we want to stand up and be like Jesus, totally loving and working towards that, totally thinking about what God wants rather than what we want, following our Lord and always being faithful to Him and serving Him, and always being faithful to each other, loving each other, and serving each other? So what I'd like to do, because I really feel the collect of the day sums up my whole thought for my sermon. Almighty and everlasting God, whose will it is to restore all things in your beloved Son, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, mercifully grant that the people of the earth, divided and enslaved by sin,